Good morning. Good morning. The mic is working. I saw somebody wave back there. Good, good. Church, it is almost Thanksgiving. It is almost Thanksgiving. Time is flying by. Has this year not just flown by? One of the things about this year, it reminds me of boot camp because the days go by so slow. It's almost like the second hand is not moving. But the weeks and the months have flown by. I mean, it's already November. It feels like Easter is right around the corner, not Thanksgiving. But here we are. Yep, I hear you. But here we are. So I'm just going to pause for 1 second while you guys get caught up to November. So here we are. As I was saying, we're in Thanksgiving. We're caught up. We're in November. So I hope you've had time to catch up. This is the time of year that we give thanks more than any other time of the year as a nation. This is a time that we have set aside to be grateful, to reflect on the things that we are grateful for. Just last week, my youngest son, Max, is in karate, and his teacher emailed all of the families in the karate class and told them what he was thankful for, and then encouraged the families to start reflecting on the things they were thankful for. I thought, that was pretty cool. That's not something you expect from a karate master, but he did it, and I thought that was neat. And I remember as I was reading that, one of the things that I am very grateful for this year, and it kind of surprises myself, is I am grateful that we have introduced Friday night family movie nights in the Neal household. This was accidentally started. I think we were looking for something to do, and we couldn't do anything, so we're like, hey, let's watch a movie together. And I have actually really, really enjoyed it. These nights have become the highlight of my week. I love being with my family. I love watching movies. I love hearing my kids laugh. I love sometimes even crying with my kids. I've told them my whole life I've never cried at movies. I think two of the last 6 weeks I've cried during the whole movie. But it has been fun just to sit with my family. And these moments, they've created conversations. They've created inside jokes. Just been memories that we will hold on to as a family. And as a matter of fact, this last Friday we had the church. So we had to postpone it. So we did a Saturday night, Friday night movie night at our house, and it was just a great time with me and the kids and my wife, actually, too. She was there. We had a good time. But as I was reading something, I was reading what other people are thankful for. One of the things that people are most thankful for this Thanksgiving is that it means 2020 is just about over. Right? I don't want to be the bearer of bad news. I don't want to mess up your whole lives, but my feeling is just like Y2K, January 1st is going to be much of the same, right? The coronavirus will still be here. We'll still be practicing some sort of social distancing. There will still be families that are restricted from getting together. We might not even know who won the presidential election by January 1st, right? So January 1st, my guess, is going to be very, very similar to December 31st. So please don't put your hope in December 31st at midnight, everything gets better. That would not start off 2021 very well for you, all right? But instead, I think you should look back on this year, look back on your life, and try to think about the things that you are thankful for. As a matter of fact, if you're watching us on Facebook, in the comments, just write down, what are some of the things that you are thankful for as a family, thankful as an individual? Just in our Facebook comments, go ahead and type that in. And if you're here or if you're online and you have an Instagram account, just put it in there. So like, if you're here, you don't hear the pastor say this very often, but go ahead, pull out your phones, get on social media, start typing some things through social media, start listing some things that you are grateful for. Go ahead and make a hashtag, CCWH, thankful 2020. And let's make that trend. Let's spread some of the things that we are thankful for. I will tell you one of the things I am most grateful for these last weeks is we have come together as a church and we've gotten to study the attributes of God, just to be reminded about who God is and what he has done and to be able to spend time just focusing on him. When we think about how grateful are we that God is good, that God is merciful, that God is gracious, that God is sovereign, that God is loving, and most of all, that God is faithful of all of these things all of the time. Just right there, I just gave you like 6 things you could hashtag that you're grateful for, right? God's grace and his mercy and his love. These are all things that we should be reminded of. Which of those attributes, when you take time, are you most grateful for? Are you most thankful for? Are you most thankful that we can trust in the security that is found in God's goodness. No matter where we find ourselves or how deep of the ditch that we dug ourselves, we know that God's goodness is greater. If you remember the shepherd boy that turned royal servant, that turned military leader, then turned fugitive, right? He found himself running from two kings, both of which would like to kill him, and there he is hiding in a cave. And while hiding in this cave with nothing but just a few men, David writes a poem of thanksgiving, a poem reminding us of the goodness of God, of the safety that is found in the presence of God. And from inside that cave, David boasts of the Lord's goodness. He wrote in verse 8, he said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." And when we hear those words, this is not just some half-hearted, some wimpy plea, but this is David saying, "This is the best thing in my life. You've got to taste this. You've got to see how good the Lord is." And it's because of the Lord's goodness, we don't have to fear what the world fears. Right? When we take refuge in the Lord, we find safety in him, and we will taste his goodness. And in his goodness, we can trust that his goodness transcends any circumstance that we find ourselves in. This is something that we can always be thankful for, even in the middle of 2020. With all the ups and downs and all the different things that 2020 has brought us, we can be reminded of the safety and the goodness of God. Or maybe you're most thankful that we can trust in the hope that is found in God's mercy. God's mercy removes our wrongdoings from our life story. It tears the pages out. When we put our trust in him, he removes our transgressions. Our sin against him, they are gone. They are far, far away, not even to be seen. King David tells us that they are as to the east is from the west, that they never touch, that as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. They're not even close. They're gone. And because of his mercy, we do not have to live in guilt. We don't have to live in the shame or the fear of our past mistakes. His mercy removes those marks in our life. Think of the hope that that provides you right now. I want you to stop and think about that. And whatever guilt is holding you back, whatever shame is keeping you captive, whatever fear is just sucking the joy out of your life and stealing your hope, when we put our trust in God, it's all gone. The guilt is removed. The shame is erased. Hope is instilled in us because of the mercy found in God. As the prophet Jeremiah tells us, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The hope that is found in the mercy of God is something to be thankful for. Not just once a year, not just once each day, but every morning that his mercies are new in our life. Or maybe you're most thankful that we can trust in the rest that is found in God's grace. Remember the prodigal son? He squandered all of his inheritance, made a complete fool of himself, and he ruined everything. He was literally eating with the pigs. He was not eating pigs. He was down eating their food. He was eating with the pigs. He was given so much, and he lost it all. He lost everything, which is exactly what he deserved. He got everything he deserved. He got guilt from being so selfish, shame from the reckless way that he lived his life, the fear for squandering his money and possibly ruining his family name. He was broken and tired and humiliated. Again, everything he deserved for what he did. But he found rest in his father's grave, in his father's grace. When he came back to his father showed him grace when he returned home. His father said, "Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. None of this did that son deserve. But what a beautiful picture of the grace that our Father gives us. Of the grace that our Father extends to us when we find ourselves tired and hurting and broken, when we find ourselves eating with the pigs. It is his grace, his undeserved favor in our lives, where our soul finds rest. That is worthy of thanksgiving all the time. Every day, every second. That is something when we just think back probably this morning, we could think of times where God's grace was in our life, where we needed God's grace. And we should be thankful for that. You can hashtag God's grace all day long. Or maybe you're most thankful that we can trust in the peace that is found in God's sovereignty. Do you remember Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were faced with death or bowing down before a false god? They found a peace in that moment that surpasses all understanding. In response to being thrown into the fire for not bowing before an idol, they responded to the king. This is what they said to the king that was to throw him in the furnace. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Look at that peace in knowing that God is sovereign. They go before the king and they say, my God can and he will. But if he doesn't, and they're trusting in his sovereignty, they're trusting in his goodness, they're trusting in his mercy, they're trusting in his grace to know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. And they had peace in God's sovereignty. God's sovereignty gives us that peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding. And it is the peace that I am thankful for each morning. When things are confusing, when there's fire, commotion, and I have no idea what's going on, I have peace knowing God knows exactly what's going on. What about you? Do you trust in God for that peace? Do you find yourself relying on the peace that comes in God's sovereignty? Or maybe you're most thankful that we can trust in the joy that is found in God's love. It's God's love for us that gives us that eternal joy. In John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And when we talk about eternal life, we're not just talking about quantity. We're talking about quality. It's the many blessings and joy that he gives us. And in this promise, we are promised that we will not perish, but we are promised the abundance of joy and immeasurable blessings that we have when we are walking in the presence of God, when we have put our faith in his Son. And that joy, knowing God's love for us, should lead us to thanksgiving every minute of every day, knowing that there is a perfect and a holy and loving God who loves us. And finally, as Pastor Tim taught us last week, all of these attributes, his goodness and his mercy and his grace and his sovereignty and his love, they're all guaranteed by another trait of God's, by his faithfulness. Right? Are you most thankful that we can trust in the certainty that is found in the character of God, that we can trust in the certainty that is found in God's faithfulness? God is faithful and he will always be true to his character. He has to simply by his character. Even when we are unfaithful, he is still faithful. We lie and we conceal and we steal and we make promises that we can't keep. But God, we put God in this place of authority on Sunday, and then on Monday we put him on the shelf and forget about him. We are unfaithful to him. And even when we turn our backs on him, as the Israelites did when they created the golden calf, Moses reminds us that the Lord, the God, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, giving iniquity and transgressions and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, the children's children to the third and fourth generations. Church, God knows our sinful hearts. But by his very nature, he's willing to forgive and to restore those who call him for help. But remember, God is a just God. He does not let the guilty, particularly those who have never repented, seek his forgiveness. He doesn't let them escape the consequences of their sin. However, there's always a but God. However, as we follow Jesus wholeheartedly, we can walk with confidence in his mercy and his grace because of the certainty of his faithfulness to those that call him Father. How thankful are we for that faithfulness in our lives, that we can rely on God no matter what. His faithfulness should fill our hearts with thanksgiving every time we open our eyes. The truth is, because of God, we have so much to be thankful for. This is different than all the other things that we may be thankful for. Oftentimes, a nice card or a warm hug or a simple thank you seems to be enough to express our gratitude pretty effectively, pretty efficiently. But all of that seems to fall flat when we're talking about saying thank you to God for all of the things that he has done for us. How do we give thanks to a holy God? How do we give thanks to a God for who he is and what he is doing and what he will do? And church, I just spent the last several minutes scratching the surface of the things of God that we can be thankful for, his mercy and his grace and his love. And how do we give thanks for those perfect things in our lives? Well, I'm really thankful that Scripture records a response to thanksgiving to God and something that we can emulate, and I want to be really honest with you. It's not as complicated as we make it. It's actually pretty simple, and that's another thing that we can be thankful for. So I want you to go ahead and turn or click on your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. In one of his final acts as king, we see King David, he's at the end of his life. He's coming to the end of his life. He's ruled Israel for 40 years. The one thing that King David always wanted to do is he wanted to build God's temple. But God said, no, you're not going to do that. Your son is going to do that. So in his final act as king, King David collects an offering. He collects materials from the people to be used in the construction of the temple. Through this offering, listen to this list of what people gave. Over 375,000 pounds of gold. They gave over 750,000 pounds of silver. Over 1.3 million pounds of bronze. And over 7.5 million pounds of iron. All to be used for this magnificent temple. And Scripture tells us in verse 9, then the people rejoiced because they had given willingly, for with a whole heart they had offered freely to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. And so following this act of worship, this act of offering, King David gives a prayer of thanksgiving. I want to read that prayer this morning. I want to look at two things that we can do as an act of thanksgiving for all that God has done for us. I'm going to begin in verse 10. I'm going to ask you to follow along with me as I read. It says, therefore, David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. And David said, blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Yours, O God, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. For we are strangers before you as sojourners, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no abiding. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house for your holy name comes from your hand and is all your own. I know, my God, that you test the hearts and have pleasure in uprightness. In the uprightness of my heart, I will freely offer all these things. And now I have seen your people who are present here offering freely and joyously to you. O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep forever such purposes and thoughts in the hearts of your people and direct their hearts towards you. Amen. From this prayer, from the simple prayer that David gave, I just want to pull out two things that should be the foundation of all of our thanksgiving. Not just this week, not just on Thursday, but something that should be a part of our lives, should be a part of who we are, and something that every morning as we give thanks, we should think about. First, when we give thanksgiving, we need to remember God in our thanksgiving. We need to remember who God is. In the first verse of this prayer, David praises God for who he is. We can't even get into true thanksgiving until we understand who God is and how holy God is. We have to understand how perfectly good he is, how incredibly merciful he is, how generous, how graciously generous he is, how completely sovereign he is, how amazingly loving he is, and how forever faithful he is. And that is where our thanksgiving begins, with God. When we look for all of those reasons we just mentioned just a few minutes ago, we often skip the giver and we go straight to the gift. But our thanksgiving needs to begin and end with God. I want you to look at how David begins this prayer of thanksgiving. He says, "Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O God, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over. In your hand are power and might. And in your hand is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, God, our God, and praise your glorious name." Church, this is easy. This Thursday, this week, the rest of the year, and for all of next year, we need to begin our thanksgiving with remembering God. Remembering his goodness and his mercy and his grace and his sovereignty and his love and his faithfulness. We should start our thanksgiving with God. That is step one to being thankful. It is impossible to remember who God is and not be thankful for who he is and what he has done in our lives. Step two is we need to reflect God in our thanksgiving. Everything we have comes from God. However, we are quick at first to the things that he gives us. That we are quick for the first thing we do is complain that he hasn't given us enough. And the second thing that we do is that everything he has given us, we surround it in our arms. We say, this is ours. This is mine. It's not. Everything is God's, and we are just stewards of his stuff. We read when God is speaking to Israel, God tells him this, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. God says, I'm going to bless you so that you will bless others. We are to be conduits of God's generosity. We are to be conduits of God's blessing. We are not the endpoint consumers, and then we just hold it all on. His stuff is for his glory, not for you. In his second letter to the churches in Corinth, Paul speaks of the church's generosity and how their generosity not only helped fellow believers, but honors God and gives glory to God. And Paul tells them this, "You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but it is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God." See, so often there's this prosperity gospel that we do things for God so that we get things. No. We love God, and because we love God and thank God, we actually give things away. Right? We give things away. God loves this joy-motivated giving to others because it expresses our contentment and our gratitude in the things that God has given us. How can you show his generosity to others in your life today? And oftentimes when we think of giving and generosity, we think of money and financial things. But the truth is, there's a lot of things that are more valuable than money. You can be generous with your time. We have some ladies in this church that take time to make muffins and take them to members in the church. We have ladies in this church who are writing letters to people in prison. Right? We have men and families in this church that are meeting with other families and helping them move and taking care of house and taking care of needs. And they're just giving their time to others. You can be generous with your words. When was the last time that you sat down and took time to write a letter to encourage somebody, to tell them what you're thankful for, to help edify the body, to help build up and encourage people just with your words? You can be generous with Jesus. You can tell people about Jesus. You can tell people about the life-giving and saving knowledge of Jesus that you have. You could share Jesus with them. And sometimes, as the old president of the Baptist Foundation used to say, when you need money, Nothing else will do. So maybe there's somebody in your life that you know of a need of, maybe a financial need, and you can give money or you can do something to help with them. Church, I have to tell you, Calvary Church, I am so grateful to be a pastor of this church and be a part of a generous church. Just this year, as I was looking at some things, we have given to missions all across the world to this year. Even as our giving has gone down and there's been different cuts, God has provided for us and we have given to missions all over the world. Next week, we're going to have one of our missionaries come and going to be sharing with you the things that God is doing. Because of your giving, we have ministered to our communities. Healthcare workers, we minister to our communities. Police departments, way beyond what we ever asked or thought of. We had a plan, and God blew it out of the water and more than doubled what we were planning to do to show ministry and to show God's grace. We are setting up a drive-in movie, a free drive-in movie for our community. And December 4th, we're going to turn our parking lot into a drive-in community so we can minister and share with our community. Also on that night, we're going to be doing the lighting of the nativity scene. And we'll have it on our roof, and we'll be lighting it up following the movie. This year during COVID, with limited gatherings, we don't have everybody here, we have very small groups, we don't meet all the time, we have collected over 100 boxes for Operation Christmas Child. Church, that is awesome, and we are still collecting more. I saw more come in today. You can clap for that. We'll take clapping. And we've had several families that have built boxes online and sent them directly there. So church, we are a generous church, that is for sure. And church, we are coming to our annual year-end giving campaign. Last year during this campaign, we raised $31,000 at the end of the year, and we replaced 5 much-needed AC systems, and we gave, of that money, we gave $3,100 to missions. We've always taken 10% of that year-end giving and said, hey, we're going to give this out. We're going to give this to missions, and I want to praise God for his generosity that we were able to give $3,100 towards mission. And we gave that out of our riches. And as we come into this season, and I've met with some of the leaders, and we've started listing the things that we need to fix or to repair. We need some additional ACs that aren't working. We got some stucco repair we need to do. We got some new flooring, some worn-out carpet we need to place. We need to fix our parking lot. We need new windows. We need new signs. The list can go on and on and on. And maybe we can take that money and we save for a rain year. I think they're calling it a COVID day now because things are just different. And you can imagine that the attendance is down, and so giving is down as well. And all of these things, every single one of these things would be wise and prove to be good stewardship of God's resources. However, this year, out of gratefulness for who God is, out of worship for who God is, out of gratefulness for everything that God has provided for us, we are no longer this year going to give according to our riches. We are going to give according to God's glory. This year, we're going to flip things all around. We're going to put 10% of that money into the facilities repair to fix some of it, and we're going to take 90% of that money and put it towards missions and ministry. This year in giving, our focus is going to be to glorify God in our community. Right? We're going to use his endless blessings in our lives to bless others in our community and throughout the world. Right? We're going to use our year in giving to give additional gifts to our ministry partners. Organizations like the North American Mission Board that is planting churches all across the United States. They have ministries all over the world. They have got chaplains in the military, chaplains in hospitals. They provide schooling and training the next generation of pastors. And we're going to keep giving to the North American Mission Board. We're going to give them an additional gift. We're going to give an additional gift to the International Mission Board. Over 3,500 missionaries that we support all over the world. And we say, you know what, we're going to give them more. So we're going to take that year in giving and give them a gift and just show God's gratitude in our life, God's generosity in our life. We're going to give an additional gift to Open Arms, Pregnancy Resource Clinic here in the Valley that is helping bring the light of Jesus, literally helping to save lives. And we're going to bless them with a gift so God's glory will be seen here. We're going to continue to give to an anthology church plant. We're going to give them an additional gift. A church plant, as you can imagine, the schools have been shut down. Their meeting spots have been shut down, and they are struggling through this time to proclaim God's world in a very difficult spot, God's word. And we are going to give to them, and we're going to support them, and we're going to bless them just like God has blessed us. We're going to give an additional to our Philippine partners in Mindanao, a family we have been supporting for 2 years now. We're going to give them an additional gift, and we're going to say, hey, God has blessed us. We're going to bless you. We're going to help make God's known, literally, on the end of the world, a little tiny island just south of the Philippines. And we're going to give a gift to California Missions Offering. So helping with church plants here in California specifically, helping with universities or Christian colleges here in the university, helping with migrant workers here in the university, helping with disaster relief as you've been in California. We're like on fire all the time. And we're going to put ourselves in a position that when this church is ministering to a community that's been burned, we say, hey, we want to partner with you guys. We want to help make God's glory known where you are, and we are going to bless you because God has blessed us. And when we do this, right, when we give this money to church, see, God doesn't bless us so that we can hoard things. He doesn't bless us so we can hold on to it. He blesses us so that we can bless others in his name. It is not about me. It's not about you. It's not about Calvary Church. It is about Jesus Christ. And that's what we are going to make it. We are going to make it about his glory. We're going to show him that we are so grateful for who he is and what he has done, and we are going to give according to his glory. And it's very easy for us, especially when we start looking at the books, and as a church, we still have administration things to do and needs, and it's very easy for us to say, wow, we need a new AC. Oh, we need a better building. Oh, we want nicer landscaping. Right? And we convince ourselves that, hey, just like King David, we're building the temple. We're gathering resources for the temple. It's very biblical, and our hearts are focused on the building. But things have changed. When Jesus went to the cross, things changed. And now God says, now Jesus says, you are to focus on building the church. Church, we have been commanded to build the church, to build God's church, and it isn't this building. We want ACs, and God says, no, I want Anthony to be a part of my church. We want to improve parking lots, and God says, no, I want Pete to worship with y'all. Right, we want stucco for the buildings, but he says, no, I want Stephanie to be a part of your church, to be a part of my family here in West Hills. And we are to invest in that church and making God's known. We are to invest in discipling the people that we have here to go out and to make God's glory known, not just here in West Hills, not here in LA, but throughout California and the world. I am so excited to see what God is going to do. And I've shared this with some of my leaders. I know this is from God because people say, well, sometimes you know it's from God because it's not something you would do. And when I was praying about this and thinking through this, I was like, oh, God, we can't do that. And the more that I prayed about it and the more that I talked to leaders, I started getting excited about it. I want you to think about what this means, is that even if our end of year giving is half of what it was last year, we will still give over $10,000 to making the glory of Jesus known throughout our community, our city, our state, and our world. Praise God. Praise God for all the glory that this small church in West Hills, God has brought us in to be a part of the plan to make his glory known throughout the world. Calvary Church, God has given us so much. He gives us mercy and grace, and he gives us his own son so that we could have life. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you have so much to be thankful for. And if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know who Jesus, you don't even know what I'm talking about. There's a promise in Scripture that says if you seek him, you will find him. And that's a promise, and it's the greatest reason you will ever have to be thankful this year. It is the greatest reason you'll ever have to be thankful for the rest of your life. Thanksgiving on Thursday will be a totally different meaning when you find Jesus. Church, this Thanksgiving, we need to remember the goodness of God in our life. And then we need to reflect his glory to others in our life. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for just this morning. And just we thank you for everything that you've given us, Lord. And we thank you for you. And most of all, Lord, we thank you for your son. For your son that you sent down. That you did the great exchange of his righteousness you've given us for our transgressions. He paid the price for us, Lord. And when we sit down and we think about what that means, Lord, that's eternity with you. We don't deserve any of it. We don't deserve to speak your name. We don't deserve to look at you, but you sent your son so that we could be in the presence of you and that one day, Lord, we can gather as your brothers and sisters from all over the world and sit in your throne room and sing, holy, holy, holy. And we are so grateful for that and so thankful for that, Lord. Lord, we would just pray that this week as we start thinking of the different things that are going on and how are we going to meet or not meet and what are we going to eat and all this other stuff, that our focus would come back to who you are, that our thanksgiving and everything that we do would begin and end with you, Lord, we pray for opportunities that we would have to share your goodness with those that we meet up with, for those that we fellowship with, for those that we eat with. And may your goodness be an encouragement for some, and may it be life-giving to others that don't know you. Lord, we love you, and we are so grateful for everything that you have done for this church and for everything that you have given to this church, Lord. And we are so excited to see how you're going to use this church for your glory here in California, that we'd be a light that not only Los Angeles would see, not only California would see, but the world would see your glory through the work that you do through us. Lord, we love you, and we thank you. And it's in your Son's precious name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. Church, I hope you guys have a great Thanksgiving. I look forward to seeing you back next week. Enjoy time with family and friends. Enjoy the food. But most of all, just remember who God is and what he's done in your life. Church, we love you, and we'll see you soon. Bye.